Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you all. We've been able to travel quite a bit here in the last month and a half, finally getting to meet with some of our supporting churches after this long year with all of its events. And we're glad to be back with you guys. I want to ask a question as we open here, as we open both our time now and this week that we devote to missions, and ask you, why should we do missions? Why? Why should we give all of this time and money and resources and manpower to this task? What is so important about it? Now, some of you might be asking, you know, why even ask this question? The answer is obvious. But I ask this both for those of us who already have been involved in missions for many years to think about it deeply, and also because I know that there are some people who are in here, maybe coming from backgrounds where your churches never gave very much time and energy to this. Maybe you've become a believer here recently, and this idea of sending people to foreign fields to preach the gospel is a foreign idea to you. And so I want us to think about this for just a few minutes here before I share with you some of the things that God is doing in our little nectar of the woods. Matthew 28:19, this is the seminal passage on missions where Christ, just before he ascends into heaven, gives the great commission to his disciples. And he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So why should we give ourselves to this? Well, some of you might be answering, well, obedience. This is a command from God, and so we should obey. Jesus said to do it. He's our Lord and Master, and we should do it out of love for him. He told us to, and so we should. And this is a great reason to do missions. It really is. Obedience is a way in which we demonstrate our love for Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." So that's a very good reason to do missions. And there have been days when I am a missionary simply out of obedience, just to be honest. And there are days in which you are parents just out of obedience. There are days in which you do your morning worship with God simply out of obedience because you know that this is good and this is right. And that's honorable, and that's a great motivation for missions. Some of you might say, well, the lost, that's the motivation. That is the highest motivation for missions. There's untold millions of God's beautiful creatures made in his image who right now are wandering away from their creator, who are headed towards death and destruction, for eternal separation from God. And this is an incredible motivation. And this is a motivation that is biblical, too. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost." Now, that was the mission of Jesus Christ. His very name, we are told, says that he will save his people from their sins. So we want to go into all the world and we want to see people come to Christ. David Livingston, when he was pioneering and pushing into the inner parts of Africa, said that the thought of the smoke of 1,000 villages of people who had never heard goaded him onward. That is a great motivation for missions, and it should be motivating us. And if we don't have a heart for people and their lost state, then we should be praying and begging God to do that and stirring that up in our hearts. But I have become convinced that there's a greater and stronger motivation for us to be involved in missions, to be involved in taking the gospel to foreign countries, crossing cultural barriers, moving the gospel into areas that it has never been, at risk of life and limb, at the expense of your energy, your health, and all sorts of other risks. And that motivation is the glory of God. John Piper is a man at which I praise God for. He's done more through his passionate love for Christ to both prepare me to go to the mission field and to keep me there, even though I have never met the man. And it is through a lot of his preaching and writing that I came to see that this really is one of the strongest motivations to do mission work, and not only to go, but to stay. And this has kept me involved in missions many days when I just wanted to give up. In his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, in his preface, he gives many of these things that I'm going to share here, some of these quotes that I'm going to share, and I hope that they'll be encouraging to you as you think about missions and maybe being actively involved, going yourself or sending people out of your own family. He quotes John Stott saying, "The highest of missionary motives is neither obedience to the Great Commission, important as that is, nor love for sinners who are alienated and perishing, strong as that incentive is, especially when we contemplate the wrath of God, but rather zeal, burning and passionate zeal for the glory of Jesus Christ. Only one imperialism is Christian, and that is concern for His Imperial Majesty, Jesus Christ, and for the glory of His empire." Jesus Christ is to be lifted up over all the nations. This is the design for each and every one of us, to magnify God. We were created as mirrors to reflect the glory of God. We have no other function outside of that primary function. If we are not reflecting the amazing awesomeness of our God, then we are falling completely short of what we're supposed to be doing. And there are millions upon millions of people in this world who are not functioning as designed. They are broken because primarily they are failing to give glory to God. In Romans chapter 1, this is the main sin, that they did not give thanks to God, neither glorify Him. This is the primary reason why we need to take the gospel to the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says this, he says, through whom we have received the grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among the nations. It is for the glory of Christ that Paul and the apostles were sent out to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of the name, the honor and majesty of our God. And Stott, again, he says about this same verse, he says, "We should be jealous for the honor of His name, troubled when it remains unknown, hurt when it is ignored, indignant when it is blasphemed, and at all the times anxious and determined that it shall be given the honor and glory which are due it. This is what we should be about, and this is the motivation that we have when we want to take the gospel to the nations, because the nations have not heard about the God that created them. The nations need to be turned from darkness to light so they can reflect this amazing glory of our God. Psalm 86, which is 8 through 10. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. This is the promise that we hold forth as we go out to the nations, because this is a prophecy of what Jesus Christ is going to make happen. All the nations shall come and give glory to our God. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And this final quote that I'm going to share with you, this is his seminal statement on missions here. Piper says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship does not. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. So, worship is the fuel and goal of missions. It's my prayer for all of us this morning, and for this week, and for the future months, as you consider God's place for you in the Great Commission, that you be fueling your heart and mind with the glory of God, that you fill up your heart with who He is and your desire to see Him magnified, that you are hurt when He is blasphemed, that you feel this strong lack that there's millions who aren't giving glory to your God. I would even give this one application. Right now in America, we're seeing this great upheaval and a lot of our liberties, which we've enjoyed for many, many generations, are at risk. And our temptation is to see this as a partisan thing, to see this as an issue of we need to change policies or protect policies. Whereas the true issue is that mankind, not just certain groups of Americans, mankind refuses to give glory to God. He refuses to bow his knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our mission is not to make them change their political party. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ and to see him lifted up and glorified. And may that fill our hearts and minds. This morning, I want to share with you some of the amazing things that God's been doing in the country of Cambodia. In our short time here, I want to give you a window into some of the things that's happened over the last several years. And before I do, I want to make sure that I bring greetings to you from your friends, the Crowleys and the Jensens, who love you dearly. And I'm sure that you love them dearly as well. And also from your brothers and sisters in Cambodia, who you haven't met yet, but someday you will. And we will worship and glorify God together in Cambodia. I also want to just tell you what an amazing blessing it is to work with both JD and Kim and Josh and A.B. Jensen. You guys have made an amazing investment by placing them out there in Cambodia. JD has been a rich blessing to all of you here. I know that you've enjoyed his teaching and help here, but he's also been an amazing help to to our family. And Kim has been an amazing help to our family. We love them dearly. And Josh and Amy Jensen, they're just amazing. So much so that we almost wish that you'd bring them back because they kind of humiliate the rest of us. They can do 3 or 4 times the work of normal people. We really love them, and they're just really amazing with the way that they're doing there with the Jirai. All right, well, we are the Canes, and we are in the country of Cambodia. And those of you who don't know where that is, it's not in Africa. That's a continent that's in a different part of the world. We're in Southeast Asia, and it's not Cameroon. That's in Africa. And we've got some friends that are from Cameroon, and they'll be glad to tell you that Cameroon and Cambodia are completely different, 1,000 miles apart. Here we go. Okay, so you guys have heard much about the Ratanakere Pastor School, and we had the amazing opportunity to see, here we go, get my notes out here. In 2017, the Ratanakere Pastor School, we started this new iteration of the pastor school. For many years, we had been doing something that was targeted on a more basic level, teaching through books of the Bible, and we made this transition in 2019. And this has been really incredible to see what's been happening, and we've loved what's been taught so far. One of the complications that we always had was the place in which we met. You can imagine trying to find a place twice a year for 60, 70 people to both do teaching and then sleeping and eating all in one place. And so this opportunity was brought before you guys earlier this year, or maybe at the end of last year, I can't remember exactly. And this is the building in progress right now, and part largely to you guys' generosity. This was a very shrewd investment. This is going to be such a blessing to all the people over there, to us, especially being able to use this facility. And it's in progress there, and Lord willing, we'll be able to use this very soon. So one other thing that you guys can pray for in regards to this is that you guys might have heard that there is this virus that's been going around for the last year or so, and it's kind of thrown a wrench into everything. And one of those is this Bible school. So we've lost significant momentum by not being able to have this for the last year. So we pray that you guys would join us praying that we would be able to regain this momentum and get back into doing this again as soon as they open things up. Unfortunately, it seems like there was another outbreak of the COVID virus in Cambodia. Largely, we've been protected from it, but it just recently had an outbreak, a fairly large one in Phnom Penh, and they've shut everything down. So probably for the foreseeable future, there won't be any large gatherings at all. Praise to God for this new building. And I also want to give you just a real quick update on Lydia. Several of you have commented how much you've been praying for her, and we can't tell you how much we've appreciated that. Her health is stabilized to the point that we feel it is, it's good that we can return back to Cambodia, that there's nothing more we can do here. She continues to have issues with the seizures every once in a while, but the doctors are confident that with tweaking the medications, we'll be able to eventually get that ironed out. So we ask you to pray that we would be able to see her health continue to stabilize in this way. So with the advent of this new pastor school, another opportunity had surfaced, and that was that all of these basic Bible teachings that had been being done for several years, the churches came to us and said, we would like to open this up and allow all of the people in our churches, not just the pastors, to be able to be involved in this and to be able to get it. So they wanted the women to be able to get it and the older people and the young people. And so back in 2014, they decided that they were going to do their own version of it. And this was their own plan. Now, we had tried to do this already. We wanted this to be indigenous. We tried to pass this off onto them earlier. And it ended up, for various reasons, disintegrating and falling apart. So they approached us in 2014 and said that they would like to begin doing this themselves. So they took this Bible school that was happening just for pastors and they translated it literally into their own language and into their own culture and doing it their own way. And so since 2014, they've continued to have this. And here, this is 2021, just 2 weeks ago, they are crossing the Seisan River to go to a village that's never had the Bible school before. So this was one of their ideas, that not only did they want to have it in their own language with their own teachers doing it themselves, they also wanted to change locations every single time to go to different villages. That is something that a Westerner would never decide to do. The incredible headache and the hassle to be able to do it. But they wanted each of these different villages to not only be able to get access to it, because they're all geographically located in different areas, and they wanted it to be evened out for everybody travel-wise, but they also wanted each of these villages to be able to have a swell of Christian presence one time, so that all the people in their village could see all of the other Christians in the province that are within their language group. So they've been doing this, and it's been a phenomenal success. In fact, at this particular village, Kampung Gruong, they, in the middle of the week, right before they're gonna finish, the last night before they're going to finish, they have a time of songs and worship, and they do their traditional dances and all this late into the night. And because the Christians are basically the only ones that have preserved the old style of music, all the village comes out and they all listen. And so they love it. And so it makes an amazing evangelistic opportunity. They stopped in the middle of the singing. They read scripture. They gave us a small evangelistic message right there in the middle. And I just love this. This is amazing. And this is not great missionary. This is the Holy Spirit doing his work within his own church, building it and giving them a vision to take the gospel. And there's another amazing aspect to this. This village is not a Krung village. The Krung people group are the ones that we primarily work with. This is a Brau village. To know the history of these people, you'd know that they used to fight with each other. They used to take captives, kill each other. And the Brau were primarily the stronger people group. They would often war and take prisoners from the Krung as slaves. This was 100, 150 years ago. So now here, the gospel first came to the Krung, and the Krung have had several strong churches for many years. This is a Brau village, and they've been going to the Brau for several years now and helping them do their own Bible schools so that they can have this influence. So here you have these historically warring peoples, and now in Christ, the Krung and the Brau are working together for the sake of the gospel. I just think it's an amazing testimony to what the gospel has done among them. So this has also led to the need for materials being translated into the Krung language. And so a lot of these same materials that we had been using for many years among the just the Khmer language group have now been translated into the Krung language as well. And this was primarily the work of my friend Nye here. And Nye is an infatigable worker. He's 65 years old. He still sits every single day with his computer typing out things and distributing them to various people, little helps and little aids for different churches. He has a vision for the Krung church, and it's really exciting to see this. So he has translated these materials and drafted them, and then we would work together. And this is one of the projects that we've been working on over the last several years here. And now we have five or six different books that have been translated into the Krung language which they're using in these various Bible schools. So one of the other amazing opportunities that's come up over the last several years is the opportunity to be involved in the Krung Bible Translation Project. This couple here, which you'll eventually see, there they are, Chuck and Sally Keller, they're in their 70s. They've been working on the Krung Bible Translation since early in the 90s. They started working with the Krung when they were living in America in the 80s, just with the refugees that would come from the Pol Pot regime. And they moved over to Cambodia and have been slowly translating the Bible into the Krung language. Well, they're getting on in years, and so several aspects of the translation process involved checking in different villages. And with their age and mobility, they weren't able to do that. So their mission organization asked us to come alongside and help them with that, which we were thrilled to do. So for the last 4 years, one of the primary things that we've been involved in is trying to get the clicker to move forward. There we go. All right. Is doing community checking. And this is an unsaved man who hasn't ever heard any of the gospel, haven't ever heard any of the Bible, and we will take the scripture and read the Bible to him and then ask him questions about the translation and get feedback on it to see whether or not he understood it. It's an amazing opportunity not only to check the translation, but also to give the gospel to a man who's just sitting there listening to the Bible being read. And then we also take it and read it to church members, and we'll give them passages of scripture and then ask them questions about how much they understood and what they got from it. And we're figuring out whether or not the words that we're using are the appropriate dialect. We're figuring out whether or not it's making sense, if there's any last hiccups in the translation process. But it's also been a fantastic blend of working on the Bible Translation Project and also just discipling these people that we've been working with. Each of these groups, and we'll rotate from different villages, testing out different dialects and working with different villages. It's been an amazing opportunity just to go through the scriptures verse by verse and do Bible studies with them. I've really been excited to be involved with this process. I want to give you just a sampling here of the translation. This is Romans chapter 10, verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the Khmer translation of that same verse. Prasun ba mot net prakatha pre yesu pat chie pre amcha. Hai ba chat net chua tha pre chi mcha pat chia ban pro pre yesu oi mien pre chon ruoh lang veng men nu net nang tu ka sang kruoh chi man khan. And then this is in the Krung translation. Ba bor chai here we go. Ba bor chai pa ka hai rien Isn't that exciting? That's the word of God in the Krung language. So here are some prayer requests for you. As we move into this next phase of the translation project, there are some last parts of checking that need to be done. The Kellers, the couple that I shared, that I showed you a few minutes ago, they are right now unable to return due to health reasons, due to COVID. They're not being allowed to return for now. And so this last little bit of checking needs to be done. Pray that God will work out the details to be able to have that finished here in the next year or so. And then the final formatting and printing and publication or uploading of the Bible onto servers. And then possible start to an Old Testament translation. Some of that has already been being done in little bits and pieces, but then a full-scale translation of the Old Testament as well. One last segment of our the work in Cambodia is the leadership development, and that is working with the pastors of the various churches, the Kurung churches, and just helping them to move on. Many of these men were selected not because they were necessarily qualified biblically, but simply because they were the only ones who could read in the church, or they happened to be the oldest person. And so what we've been doing the last several years is working with each of these churches. We'll take one term and just spend it with one church for that 4 year. We'll go there each Sunday, and I'll spend time with those leaders, just helping them move to the next stage in their own personal life. Some of them aren't qualified, as I mentioned, and so we're working on moving them to the point where they are biblically qualified. Some of them are not going to be qualified, and so the process is to remove them out of leadership and put somebody else in that place. And so this is one of those things that takes time. It takes investigation into the situation. It takes spending days and weeks and months with each of these men and encouraging them in their next step. And so we ask your prayers for these men, that God would bless them, that God would help them and encourage them to move on in this. And I'm going to share with you the names of several of these men and ask you to pray for them. If any of you would like these slides, with the pictures with the names, come ask me later and I will email them to you. And if you mispronounce their names, it's okay. God knows who they are, and he will hear your prayers. So here are several of your brothers and sisters who are leading churches in Cambodia. This is Nai and his wife, Tapai. They're in Samroh village. This was the village that we were working with this last term. Bui and Barai, also in Samroh village. Droit and Chok. This guy is a really promising guy. I really am excited about him. He's got an interesting backstory. His dad was actually a church leader and had to be removed because he was definitely not qualified. And his entire family just left the church as a result of it. And many years later, when he was grown up, he came back and became a believer. And it's really exciting. He has a real intense desire to follow Christ. Thien and Yai. Gleam and Haeg. They're in Gam village. Gam village is likely the village that we will be working with this next term. And they need to agree to this. So pray that God will work into their hearts to accept this kind of discipleship and teaching. Gahai, and I don't know his wife's name or the next guy either. At, and his wife there. Tia and Jin, they're in Bai village, Pumbai. Vert and Kaim, his wife. Saruan and Moit, they're in Krala village. We work with them our second term. And then Lai and Bi in Ochum village. There we go. So here are our final prayer requests that I ask you to pray with us about. That God would strengthen these leaders, that God would use them to feed the flock, that he would help them to move on in their spiritual life and grow. Guidance for us as we plan for which church we're going to be working with this next term, and then for discipling these guys. There's issues that we already know within the church that need to be worked on, and some of them are going to be difficult to process. And so we pray for wisdom and help that we would encourage this church. And then finally, just our visa and reentry issues. We're still waiting on one of our passports to be renewed. Many of you have asked us when we're going back. And we've been trying to go back at various times, and for various reasons, we've been delayed. This final reason is we're waiting for one of our passports to be renewed. We need to then submit them for visas. And Lord willing, first, second week of April, we'll be heading back to Cambodia if nothing else changes and things don't close down further. So we ask your prayers for that, and we hope that you're encouraged to see what God's been doing here in this little part of his kingdom. Let me close in prayer. God, we are so thankful to you that we can be a part of your kingdom, that we can be a part of taking this amazing gospel to the ends of the earth. And we thank you that we have your promise that you are with us always, even to the ends of the earth. I pray, God, that this week that you would stir up the hearts of many people to be engaged in the work of the Great Commission, that you would call out from our assembly people to take the Gospels to unreached places and to magnify the name of Jesus Christ all across this world. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.